All right, JT, if you'll come this morning.
I think I want to go back to the second chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. I was thinking on the way down here too, I don't know how long it's been that every Sunday morning Paul said, okay, JT, get up. You're up now. And I want to tell you once again, I'm a good listener. If you'd like to have one of the other brothers, you won't hurt my feelings. But anyway, sometime I wonder if somebody couldn't do a better job than I do. I try myself often. Yeah, but just to tell you that I can be a good listener if one of the others would like to do this. But I am blessed. I think that I have learned from it. It causes you to get down and study if you have to bring something every Sunday morning. So anyway, like, got thinking about this week and come back here in 14th verse of this second chapter. It said, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. He's pointing out a specific people here. It's the ones that are saved. The rest of the people, you can rest assured they are at enmity with God. They don't want anything to do with him. Certainly the truth of his word. Now they'll pick up a few little things and would kind of like to have his blessing. But they cannot in themselves be reconciled unto God. That's just the fact of it. But he goes on, he said, for we under God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Both. He said to the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And certainly none are. He said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Most of the gospel that is preached is kind of one-sided, I think, in our country always. It's kind of laid out as evangelical. But the gospel is equally as apt to be a point of judgment as it is a point of salvation. It makes some men's hearts harder, and it makes some men's hearts soft that it might receive word of God fleshly. Makes it where it is cut to the quick, and then it will listen. But it most often that's all that's spoken of is the salvation that comes by. Over in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah then, I guess we'll begin at verse 6. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts." You know, this is man's worst problem. He wants to judge God by himself. Well, God couldn't do this, or God couldn't do that. Always judging by his own imagination. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord." If it were, we wouldn't have need of a Savior, would we? Our minds would have been perfect. We wouldn't have thought any other way but as God thinks. But we're so far removed from that. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but how opposite man is to God in every way. Not one thought he has of himself. It is the thought of God. It's another marvelous thing when we think about it that God never had to think. Ain't hard to get by that, can you? He doesn't have to think. But man is always thinking. And his thoughts are opposite to the thoughts of God, always. I don't care what they say, how good they are. Outside of the knowledge of God, man doesn't have any wisdom at all. All the rest of it's just foolishness. Man's every thought. And he said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," this is how far it is, "so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And it rains on the just as well as the unjust. So it comes down like the rain, and waters earth. It spreads over the whole thing. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." For what? For evangelical reasons? No. That it might condemn man, first of all, and bring him to the senses that would tell him that he is undone. If he can't come to that knowledge, then there's no hope at all in him. "But the rain come down, it waters the whole earth." And he said, "And so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I have sinned. I've heard this preached in my early years a lot of times, and what I said a while ago is always in an evangelical sense. But the word is much more than that. We know that all things work together to good to them that love the Lord, that are called. That's what I was talking about a while ago, specific people, that's what it was referring to. But they all work together to good. Now, this is another marvelous thing, that everything, talking about God thinking, everything that was in his plan from the very first of anything was worked out so that everything meshed. I think that's what I see in the book of Ezekiel in the wheels, that everything has come together. And everything, whether it be good or it be evil, it's all in the power of God, and it's all entangled one with the other. And how wonderful is that, that God can bring salvation out of such confusion. I'm talking confusion on our part. It was all already worked out on God's part. It wasn't having to be wait and see and think about it. And that's what they want to teach you today, is that God, he has to kind of wait and see what you're going to do. No, it was all done from before the foundation of the world. It was brought forth. And the word is given that it might judge us as well as save us. And it's going to be the savor of life unto some and the savor of death unto others. The latter killeth. And if it doesn't turn man to God, it turns him away from God. People can't stand that today, though you tell them that God brought something on people. You know, and we hear that every once in a while in our news and stuff, where some preacher has said, well, the plague is brought on by God. And that boy, they jump up and down, want to get on him and say, my goodness, what are you... Good gracious, God couldn't do nothing like that. But he does. All things work together. Everything has its part. Nothing lacking, nothing adding to it. It's just like the Word of God. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. This is complete in itself. But it has its effect both ways. In the book of Daniel, ninth chapter, in verse 10, he said, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Words always come by the prophets or the preacher. Yea, and all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon them. And it didn't come by chance. it come by the hand of God and it was delivered. Wasn't any accident. The curse. This is a promise. Folks want to claim the promises of God all the time. This is one of them. And therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses and the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. We brought it up on ourselves, but it came by the hand of God. It's a savior of death unto some. And he hath confirmed his words. What he said, it comes past. It always has. And it's confirmed, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. This is the example. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet we made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Wasn't his fault. We're the guilty party. We transgressed the law. He gave it to us. And then we turned around and said, yeah, and we'll do it. Then we turned around and didn't do it. So he's a savior of death unto some. But there's always hope with the Lord. He is long-suffering unto the salvation of many. It's a savor of life unto some. But those, it's unto those that are saved. That's kind of strange word, isn't it? But unto those that are saved. Yeah, who is that? The ones the Lord called. Back in the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I guess begin verse 5. We'll go a while here. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. There's another unique term, preserved. Always. It was from before the beginning. They were preserved of Israel, and I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Well, it's going to spread on out. That out the tent cords, make it bigger, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Well, it's a savor of life unto some. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth. There you go. Unless they be reconciled by God, they despise him. Now, there was some that would have you believe that God ought to be reconciled to man, but not so. It wasn't God that broke the covenant. It was man, whom man despised, to him whom the nation abhorreth, and to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princesses also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Apostle Paul said that he found the Lord, and then he had to correct that. Said, no, he found me. He chose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time, in the Lord's own time, all these things work to the good of those that love him. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate places, heritages, to inherit. Always love this word, inherit. Don't have to do anything. It's just given to you. He said that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? Set in a higher place. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they eat, nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Well, if he calls out people, they're going to be his people, and he's going to be their God. And he will lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and low, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinai. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people. Oh, he's going to have mercy. But it's going to be a savor of death unto death to some, and life unto others. But make no mistake about it, it isn't by accident. It's all in the eternal plan of God from the very beginning to the very end. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
So, I wonder how high the heavens are above the earth. I thought maybe Bruce could tell us.
They say it's 14 billion light years across. There's some rockets and then there's black holes that have to go on
But it's all designed to humble man and exalt God. What a wonderful thought it is, too, to think as the psalmist asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou takest knowledge of him? But God designed it again all that way, and it all comes to pass just exactly. And who knows the final fulfillment of the purpose of God in it all? It just kind of excites you to think that someday we'll maybe understand a little of it, right? But how, they used to sing a little song with the children, and it says, how big is God? Well, he is infinite, isn't he? How big he is. No beginning and no end. Again, the Alpha and the Omega.